I'm Ronnie alongside my amazing co-host Shelby. We're here to keep it real, share our journey, and break down the barriers of imperfection.
We're two business owners flying by the seat of our pants, showing you progress is always more important than perfection.
Whether you're just starting out or looking to take your business to the next level, we've got tips, tricks, and hold my beer moments to get you there.
So grab your favorite brew, sit back, and join us as we navigate the ups and downs of entrepreneurship.
Today, we're talking about hiring the right staff to reflect your business and provide strong support. Shelby and I will chit-chat on what we do in our shops to bring in the right employees. So grab your favorite brew, sit back, and join us as we explore how to build a strong, cohesive team that can help your business thrive. Let's get started.
We're talking about team culture. You might have to hire more people for Christmas time. We're planning for Christmas, and actually I have to put out an ad for hires for the fall because it gets busy.
I remember how scared I was to hire my first employee.
Why did you hire an employee? Mm-hmm.
So I originally hired my first employee at the time because as I was transitioning to hobby, to real business, to real brick and mortar, I also had some personal stuff going on. So I was caretaking for a family member. So I needed to be present. So I was always a one-woman show. This started out, I would pick up and do all the things on the weekends, after hours, after all the things were settled, the home life was all settled. When my grandmother needed more care, that was when I knew that I needed to hire somebody so that I could be more present with her. So I knew that that was going to come to a time where I knew that she needed more of my attention.
But how long did you work the shop by yourself before you said, oh my gosh, I'm going to be putting an ad out?
I think it was like 3/4 of a year.
So you made it like about 9 months.
Yep.
For a little store, baby.
Yep.
And then you said, So did you put an ad out or what did you do?
I put an ad on my social media.
Facebook?
I just made a post. Yep. So I posted on Instagram and Facebook originally. And then, I had people come in. And it was also the customers that came in, too. So I would say that I was hiring. And then word of mouth kind of got out.
That's one of the things I've found is I never know where to post because I've done it multiple ways. I posted on Indeed. And then I get all these trash messages of people from Miami or California. I'm like, I don't know why you're applying to this retail job in New Hampshire. And then I've done the whole Facebook thing. But it's only your followers, and with the algorithm, they don't all see. I've actually found the most successful thing that we found when we had our last hires was I posted it in the store. Mm-hmm. I kept telling myself, oh, no one's going to see it. That's so arcane. Like, no one's going to follow a sign on their door. Nope, that was the best thing I did.
Yeah, because they already love your shop. They're already coming in.
You know that they're driving
distance.
They already
know the products. Yeah, yep, exactly. They're close by.
They're not driving in from three states over.
And that is free.
Yeah.
Completely free. I didn't have to pay anything. I didn't have to boost any posts. Indeed, same thing for my husband. I also have a garage. So same, we have tried to use Indeed to try to find mechanics, automotive technicians. And you get a lot of spam. And then a lot of those places you have to pay for to advertise.
Pay to play.
RIP. Yep, exactly. So pay to play. But yeah, and then that either adds up. Indeed had like a new weird, you pay per so many resumes, even if the resumes didn't even have qualifying categories on them,
which is ridiculous.
We did away with that. And it was same thing. It's like word of mouth is the best.
I feel like Indeed works for those really big companies, like the headhunting companies where they're
giant marketing. So it's
and it makes sense for them. For a small business that's fallen on a budget, as Shelby likes to say. Yep. It's not really intended to hire a weekend person for a retail shop.
Yeah.
It's too out there. You need to bring it back home. That's the hardest thing for me. I am such a type A personality that when I had to hire my first person, I completely lucked out with my first hire. It was a friend and she did amazing. And I had to feel comfortable enough with the person to let go because you do things a certain way. And I don't know who's going to say otherwise, but if you're motivated and you do things a certain way, it's really hard to see someone else come in who's learning how to do it so much slower mm-hmm. that you start thinking to yourself, well, I'll just do it. I'll just yeah. do it. And at some point you have to back up and say, oh no, I need the help and I actually can get other things done if yeah. I just let X, Y, Z go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to sticker all the bags by myself.
Yeah.
I don't need to do all the trash every night. I can put that on employee schedule of these are the checklist items that have to be done. Yeah, sure. I'll take the trash out. I'll sweep the floors. I'll do all those things. But having those extra hands can let me respond to emails mm-hmm. or send out an email blast that I wouldn't have been able to get to if I was bogged down resorting a display. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really hard to let go.
It's like letting go of your
It brain. Is. It is. Oh, it's 100%. It's like I still I catch myself sometimes where I'm like, oh, no. Let's let them see and, you know, put things in their hands too. And then I'm always pleasantly surprised, even with merchandising certain things where mm-hmm. I'm like, I already know the products in the shop, no matter where you put them, they're going to look good. But it's kind of a creative thing now. So the start, that would destroy me. That would have been like, I need these right here, angled out a certain way, stacked a certain way. If you can't get this done the way I see it in my head, please move over and I will come in and do it myself.
Yep.
So then that was like, okay, well, let's just see kind of like how does another brain think or work? It's kind of like two eyes are better than one.
Exactly.
Where there are certain things I even walk in now where I'd be like, oh, I like to move things around and I try to ask our employees to do the same thing. And so sometimes I'm like pleasantly surprised on how things are merchandised where I'm like, I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Exactly.
Well, and it's cool. And then it gets your creative juices flowing too, where you're like, oh, let's do this. Okay. I see this vision or I see how they started it. So like, let's work this way.
Or I wouldn't have thought to curate these items with those items.
Yeah. I've had my employees, I've told them, okay, we're going to do a back to school table over here. Can you pull items for me? And then we'll look at it and see. Like, what items did you pick versus what I would have picked? And then let's put them together and see how it looks.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be like, wow, you did an excellent job. And other times I'll step in and be like, ooh, I like this part, but not that part. But then we can talk about it. So for the next time, I mean, I came from a background in big box retail. Mm-hmm. So I've worked for like the bigger brands who, when you're at a mall, you know, you walk in on your shift and your manager's hands you an actual binder. A physical binder that shows how the layout's supposed to be because it's supposed to be the same across 20 stores.
All the stores, yeah.
You know, so for me, I always think, okay, if I want something to look a specific way, I can't just verbalize it. I need to either draw a quick sketch out and say, okay, I'm expecting to have a mannequin here, this display here, and everything else can kind of go here, X, Y, Z. But I also do things where it's like, okay, left is going to be taller, make it like an angle going down smaller to the right. Or how do you size apparel? It's going to go small to extra large, facing this way. I mean,
outlines.
Exactly. Yeah. But you can't expect your employees to just magically walk in and be a merchandiser. You have to say to them, okay, these are my basic expectations. When you're putting spices on a shelf, make sure they all line up and they have about this much between them. And then they know. If a restock comes in when you're not there, you know, an order comes in and they're unpacking it. Okay, I can do this on my own. And they can feel independent and helpful and then part of the store. If you're just dictating and micromanaging, they don't feel like they're part of the store. Mm-hmm. And I've been on that end to feel both empowered and not empowered by my manager or the owner of a store. And it can really break you. And then you don't want to be there. And I'd rather my employees want to be here, want to say, hey, we just got in these really cute sunflower items. Can we make a sunflower display? And not be afraid to say, can we?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's huge. I think also it takes a little bit of time, too, for them to also, they're not going to know how you've operated and done things like the back of your hand. So that takes a little bit of time to get used to the systems and the processes and all of those things too.
What's your process when you go to hire someone and you go either write an ad online or put a sign in the shop? Is there anything that you keep in mind so that you can get the right applicant?
Yeah. So we put out what we're looking for. So if it is weekend help, you put that right out there and then just being upfront And then same thing, some spots are per diem. So you might be working once or twice a month, where others would be like an every weekend thing. So that would be more of a part-time position. Then you go up into even the full-time position, depending on how many hours. So I always try to be super upfront on what we're looking for. And then I always say just to email resumes. I think that's the easiest thing, is just to email directly. So even if we put an ad up, we'll just say, please forward your resume to such and such email.
I've actually found that I use email actually as a tool to see if people are truly interested, because it shows that they can communicate.
Yeah.
So if someone walks in and says, are you hiring? And I give them all the information, I don't get myself excited until I get a response from them via
email.
Yeah. Because I know they can take the time to sit down, write out their thought, and commit to, hey, I want to apply to this job. Because there's so many times that I've gotten really excited about someone and then you never hear from them.
Yeah.
Because they were just, it was on a whim.
So when we first started, I still have it. It's just like a smaller notebook. Mm-hmm. But when we weren't hiring, I would start a little notebook. So it was like, oh, just write down your information. So it was in one designated spot. Yeah. And I put it underneath actually the cash drawer. So I always knew where it was every single time somebody come in and say, oh, write your number down here. And then I would give them a card. And the same thing, it would be, I wouldn't expect anything from them giving me their information. It would be, here's my card with my email on it. Can you please forward your resume? Well, so that would be the extra initiative that they would have to put forward to.
Exactly. Because you want to know that if you hire them, they've got that open communication and that they are reliable.
Yeah.
You give them a task. Can you do it? Will I be able to reach you?
Mm-hmm.
If I do hire you, or are you going to disappear into the ether?
And that's just, yeah. And I think the resumes are also, as much as people are like, well, those are kind of a thing of the past, it shows you where you've been, what you've done, what your skills are, really easily on one sheet of paper to break it all down for you. And if you're also close by, most people will put where they're from. So you get their location, their work experience, education-wise, all of the above. They could look great on paper and have zero communication skills, can't even look you in the eye when they talk, versus they're not going to be able to hold your shop down.
And I've got a story of an interview I did once. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people previously before I owned my own business, and since I've owned my own business, and I've learned you have to be really kind of specific. You need a little guide, and we can put a guide in the show notes too, about what are the basics you should be putting in an ad if you're going to post it online for expectation. But I had someone apply who was younger, and he was looking for a part-time job. My shop, I'd say I'm about 1,200 square feet of retail space, and most of our items are already on the floor. We don't stock a ton out back. It's mostly seasonal items or a little bit of back stock out back. But because of the way that our shop is, we're small, most everything goes out on the floor. We went through this whole process. I got his resume. He had worked at Target, and sit down for the interview. And we get through the whole thing. He's got a great personality. And then says to me, well, and I said, well, what are you looking for? And I meant, what are you looking for time-wise? And he responded with, well, I just want to stock. I don't want to run the register or have to talk to customers.
Oh, interesting.
And I looked at him and said, well, we don't really have stocking positions.
Yeah.
So I think.
Yeah, we're smaller, grab and go. You fill as you
go. Yeah, I wouldn't have enough hours to get someone to just do stocking. Like coming from something like Target to a small shop, I think it's easy to assume that somebody would be able to tell that.
Yeah.
But you have to keep your expectations out there for any applicants to see. I was blown away.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean you don't want to work a register or talk to customers? Because that's literally what our staff does, is interact and engage with customers.
Customer service is huge.
Yeah.
Yep.
So from then on, I've always made that one of the key things when putting out a job description, is that you will be talking to customers and you will be running a register.
Yep.
Minimal stocking. Because most of the experience of when customers come into our shop is talking with the employee, getting to know them. What are you shopping for? So if you have someone come in for a job and they look great on paper, they may not be really good in person or a fit for your shop. So find ways to not waste your time or their time.
Yep.
Especially when you're looking for seasonal help for the holidays, because at least what I found is since COVID, it's been so hard to find applicants for jobs.
Yep.
I don't know if it was, you know, COVID changed the atmosphere of retail jobs, but I remember applying for jobs at the mall and there'd be like 12 applicants for two positions.
Yeah.
And now I feel like most of the time you're scrambling to find people who are reliable, that are willing to do retail jobs.
Right. To show up and be, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where everybody went.
Of your puzzle. That's the other thing. Somebody has to hold your fort down if you're not there, or assist you if you are there and you just need the extra help too. And not every single person is going to fit just how you think that they're going to fit. So like, I'll give you an example. We have two fabulous part-timers and they're completely opposite in just personality overwise. Yeah. One is more outgoing, is very chatty. The other one is introverted, but they do very well together. So they work opposite shifts. They communicate with each other. We have, like, we're all playing on the same team. We're all rooting for each other, pro each other. Communication is huge, I think. So even having like our little notes that they chat back and forth that I can see, or if they leave notes for me too, but it's just kind of fun to see their little bond over time. And I get compliments on both of them from customers being like, oh, I just love so-and-so and so bubbly. And then same thing, the other one is, oh, she's so helpful. She's so knowledgeable. She knows all of her stuff. So then the same, at first I was like, I don't know, is there only one type of puzzle piece that's going to fit? I know how I operate. Do I need that exact copy and paste type of personality? Mm-hmm. And it's been nice just to kind of also just retract the control and being like, oh no, these people have my best interests, the shop's best interests. So they're pro the small shops, pro the small makers. They take the time to educate themselves. The same thing, our system. You can look up like the descriptions and stuff. So they went above and beyond to do that themselves, to learn about stuff that I didn't even ask them to. Over time, you're obviously going to gain the knowledge.
Yeah.
But they took the time to study almost just to know, to be confident, to talk about the maker. So that was a huge one of those where I was like, oh my, it gets better. Like, you know, oh, this does get better. Yeah,
you know they're invested at that point.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's what you want, is an employee who's invested in you. And you can never expect them to be as invested as you, but to have the passion for your place enough to, when they go to home where they tell their friends about where they work, so that, you know, they feel like they're part of it, because they are part of it. They're part of the experience. When you're 100%. Not there, they are the face of your business.
Yep.
And I will say the same thing about my employees. Everyone has their different strengths.
Yep.
You know, I have one who's really good at helping me process our back end things, our wholesale orders.
Yes. Yes.
Manufacturing. Mm-hmm. I've got another one who, she comes in and I kid you not, I can look at the numbers and say, I know who's working.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she's so good at connecting with the customers and finding what they need with what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And it blows my mind. She went on vacation for a week. She went away for a week. She came back and I was like, please never leave
again. She has regulars looking for her too, I'm sure.
She came back and I swear, I was like, did you put an email out or something? Because it was so busy when she came back and I was blown away. But she just jumped right back into it. Some people go on vacation and they're like, oh, I don't want to go back to work. And she came back with such a like positive, refreshed energy. And it just felt good to know, you know, when you've got an employee who can talk to the customers when you're not there, interact with them, and you're getting good feedback from your customers, you're like, I picked the right person.
Yeah.
I picked the right person. And I'm so grateful that I have them on my team.
You need support. Beams, as I like to refer to him as. Like, I also think my partner also is a support beam, as I am for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the same, you need like solid employees, definitely help.
Totally.
Ease the load. And in the end,
You can't do it. You can't run a business on your own. And so many people are going to say, well, you start alone. Yeah, you can start alone. But sometimes you just need
especially if you're having like a down day or something, you just need a support system. And that support system can come in the form of your employees. No, you're not going to be doing therapy sessions with them, but you can lean on them when, say, my kid gets sent home from school. I know, you know, if he's sick and I have to go home and I can't be in the shop, I have my staff that I can trust and walk away from the shop and say, you guys got it.
Yep.
I've given you the tools you need. You have the checklists. We've done the training. You know our product. You know our customers. That, I think, goes a really long way.
Oh, huge. Yeah. So you can be present. And yeah, as a mom, knowing that your shop is in safe hands and safekeeping is huge.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Brewed Business. We've covered a lot on hiring staff, making sure they fit your business, becoming pillars of support in your journey. Remember that finding the right people is more important than just filling positions. It's about building a team that shares your vision and values. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to Brewed Business on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, leave us a review, and let us know your thoughts and questions about hiring and managing your own team.
Be sure to follow us on social media for more tips, updates, and behind-the-scenes content. You can find us on Instagram at Brewed Business Podcast.
Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, keep brewing some.
See you soon. I totally goofed it.